Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on the Brian Lehrer Show, as the governor of New York runs for re-election, Cuomo and de Blasio bury the hatchet.
It's a great time for the Democratic Party because we're producing results that connect with our philosophy, with our values, with our progressive core.
Cuomo's progressive core. Also today, your Memorial Day tributes as the Iraq and Afghanistan war era comes to a close. We'll invite you to remember someone, an actual person who died in those wars by name. And why library story time is the new hot ticket in town. Put away the iPads and queue up the strollers. But first, the paid sick leave law is taking effect in New York City, and Mayor de Blasio's Office of Consumer Affairs is taking the lead to help small businesses set up sick leave systems. The mayor has also promised to reduce city revenues from fines on small businesses and make life easier for them in general. The Office of Consumer Affairs is taking the lead on that. They're also launching an initiative to help New Yorkers considered underbanked. Julie Menin is the new mayor's consumer affairs commissioner. Many of you know her from her leadership after 9/11 as chair of Community Board 1 in Lower Manhattan, a role she has been on for here multiple times in the past. As many of you know, she also ran for New York City public advocate last year, but lost to Letitia James. Now we welcome Consumer Affairs Commissioner Julie Menin. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's wonderful to be here today with you.
And people will think Consumer Affairs Office and figure you'll spend most of your time helping consumers who have problems with city businesses. But your public emphasis so far seems to be to help the businesses and get government off their backs. Give us an overview as you see it.
Well, absolutely. I think what is so exciting now with the Department of Consumer Affairs under the mayor's leadership is a new vision for protecting small businesses. As the mayor has made very clear, and it's really a top priority of his, we want to make sure that fines are not being levied in an inequitable and unfair fashion. So we at the Department of Consumer Affairs are going to be launching a number of new initiatives in the coming weeks to really help small businesses. And those involve things such as making sure that people know about the checklists for inspectors. You know, Brian, I'm a former small business owner. I used to own a restaurant, catering, and market in Lower Manhattan called Vine. And I remember all too well dealing with DCA and never being certain, as so many small businesses constantly say, what is DCA looking for? So now we are going to have these checklists online. And we've also reduced the categories on the checklist. So we're really trying to work with small businesses. And in addition, the new cure law, which basically says that small businesses will have an opportunity to cure the violation, is going into effect. So I think these all, and we'll be launching many new initiatives as well in the coming weeks, will provide a wonderful opportunity to help the small business community.
Give me some examples. Like, what kinds of fines are in your sights as ones that have been especially excessive or capricious in the past?
Sure. Well, certainly the refund. There are certain requirements that DCA has about posting refund notices. And in the past, small businesses sometimes received a violation for every single location where a refund notice was not posted. So, for example, if a small business had numerous cash registers, they would get multiple violations if the refund notice wasn't posted each and every time. Those are some of the issues that we're working to address, really making sure that when we do issue violations, they're not picayune. Also making sure that, particularly for our immigrant communities, that inspections are done in the language of the small business owner's choice. So now inspectors come in, they have a laminated card with a multitude of languages so people can point to the language they want the inspection done in, and then a phone call is made and the inspection is actually done in that language. And we think this is so important to make sure that people really understand our rules and regulations.
So are you running less like a traditional consumer affairs office, less like a complaints bureau, say, and more like the city Small Business Administration? I'm thinking of when Mark Green was Consumer Affairs Commissioner way back under Mayor Dinkins, after he'd been a Ralph Nader-style consumer advocate. You come from that business background, as you say. So are you here to say, this is not your grandfather's consumer affairs office? I am not Ralph Nader. I am not Mark Green.
This is a very different consumer affairs department, but we are absolutely, let me be clear, going to be resolute about the prototypical consumer protection law. My background background is as a consumer protection lawyer. That's how I began my career. I am very interested in ensuring that we meet the mayor's vision of protecting communities that are most vulnerable. And so when we talk about that, that basically means that we've got so many communities, lower income neighborhoods, immigrant communities, that are victims of scams and abuses. We at DCA, we want to know about it, and we will be resolute in enforcing that. So let me just give you a couple examples. Employment agencies. We have a host of situations and complaints against employment agencies where we really see that they are charging these onerous, punitive, upfront fees to find people jobs, and then no job materializes. And when people are being sent, for example, to an abandoned warehouse instead of an actual place where they can seek a job, and then they come back to collect their fee and they're not giving it back, we want to go after that. So whether it's frauds and abuses regarding employment agencies, immigrant services, debt collectors, payday lenders, check cashing services, we are going to be extremely aggressive in the consumer protection area. And what we really want to see is we want more people to be complaining to DCA about any frauds or abuses. If we don't know about it, it's hard for us to investigate it. But we have, as you know, very broad subpoena and investigatory power, and we fully intend to use it to protect communities throughout New York City.
New York City Consumer Affairs Commissioner Julie Menin, our guest. And listeners, if you own a small business in New York City and want to urge Commissioner Menin to ease up in certain ways, maybe there are some items on that checklist that you should think should be among those taken off. If there are too many items that small businesses have to, you know, adhere to that are too detail-oriented, or if you have a consumer affairs issue as a consumer, either way, access is now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And tell us about the rollout of the paid sick leave law, which now, of course, guarantees a few paid sick days to most employees. And tell us about your office's role in it.
Well, Brian, we are absolutely thrilled at DCA to be charged with implementing and enforcing the new paid sick leave law. Under the mayor's leadership and Speaker Melissa Bjork-Viverito's leadership, as you know, this law now extends to an additional 500,000 New Yorkers. And it's a historic time for our city. I mean, when in the city's history of late have we been able to exercise a vital new right? So we think this is so incredibly important. We're doing a couple of things in the rollout. First of all, on June 2nd, we're launching the second phase of our advertising and marketing campaign. So people throughout the city will see our TV ads, our radio ads, bus ads, subway ads, PSAs, and we're very excited about that. In addition, we're going to be doing a day of action later on in June where we're going to have over 1,000 people in the street at subway stops, high traffic subway stops, particularly where there are a lot of employees. And we're going to be handing out language specific materials on paid sick leave. We want to make sure that every single employee and employer knows about paid sick leave. And we're doing a tremendous amount of industry specific events, town hall meetings, community events, community board meetings, really making sure that people know about this vital new right.
So the idea is to make sure that the business owners are offering it and implementing it and notifying the employees of it? Is that how you would put it?
That's exactly right. And notice was supposed to have been given starting on May 1st. So we want to make sure that every single employer who is subject to the paid sick leave law has provided that notice. If you are an employee and you are listening to this and you have not received notice, please let us know at DCA. We want to know about that because we do want to make sure that employers are providing this vital notice.
Put on your headphones because we're going to hear from some New Yorkers. And I think we have a small business owner on the line first. Shari in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi there. I do not purport to be the owner of the business. I'm the bookkeeper for two of the businesses.
Okay.
We're in the Flower District on West 28th Street.
Uh-huh.
And several weeks ago, a DCA representative came by and summoned every flower shop on this block with a standard complaint and a complaint about four different plants. And then, subsequent to this, we were sent a notice that we could either pay the fine or settle in advance. We are all going en masse to the hearing because we feel that this was done just to generate revenue for the city. The type of business that we're in doesn't allow us to do what we were summoned
and,
for.
And what was the summons?
The summons said that we did not put price tags on the various plants. Okay? But the plants in this in this business move so quickly, you don't have time to put price on before the plant is gone and you've got something else on the shelf in its place.
All right. So
are you... we were not given a warning first. They just came in here and wrote the same summons to every flower shop on this block.
Are you familiar with this particular instance, Commissioner?
I'm not familiar with this one. I would love to be able to, after this call, get your information, and we're happy to follow up with you. The new cure law is starting to be enforced, and what the cure law does is it gives, for particular violations, an opportunity for the small business to cure that violation. And let me just be specific about that, because DCA's revenue under the mayor's budget is projected to decline from $33.2 million from $39.1 million that we expect to take in fiscal year 2014. I mention this because we are targeting approximately a 21% reduction in fines for the upcoming year. And as I mentioned earlier on at the top of the show, we will be rolling out a series of initiatives to help small businesses. I'm in my third week on this job, and I really look forward to working very closely with the small business community. And again, happy to take your information
so
after
what
this
should,
call.
Should we get it from
yes,
her?
Yes, absolutely, and we will follow up with you.
All right. So, Shari, hold on. Our producer will get your contact.
But I also have a complaint as a consumer because my husband and I filed a complaint several weeks ago, and the DCA is not properly following up on it. They dismissed us without getting all the correct information. They just listened to the small business owner who abused his privileges.
You're on all sides of this thing, Shari. Very briefly, what was your complaint?
Well, this was a towing issue. One of our vehicles was towed, but it was legally parked at the time. And the issue is that...
Towed by a business, not the city, right?
Well, no. A homeowner claimed that we had blocked their driveway. But the driveway was not blocked. The car was legally parked. And the tow company came anyway at the behest of the homeowner. And without... how do you do? Just towed the vehicle away.
Is that a consumer?
It was legally parked.
Well, I'm happy
they
to.
Can't do that.
I'd be happy to get all the salient facts from you after the show and look into this and follow up.
Shari, thank you very much. Hang on. We're going to get your contact information, and obviously you'll tell Commissioner Menon's office that you had this conversation with her on the Brian Lehrer Show. Daniel in Brooklyn, small business owner. Daniel, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy to have made the air. Thank you so much for having me.
What kind of business?
I own a small restaurant chain between Manhattan and Brooklyn, and I am calling regarding the health department, which, restaurant owners across the city are enraged at the new grading system and how difficult it is for us to understand what we're supposed to be graded on, what we're supposed to be doing. And, the fines that are levied on us week after week and month after month are extraordinary compared to the old system.
Does this cross over to your office, or is this purely
Department of
Health?
This is purely a Department of Health issue, but what I would say is, again, in the mayor's new executive budget, you will see a very significant drop in fines for the Department of Health. So I really urge you to reach out to the Department of Health and to work with them on that, because they have some very exciting plans to really help small businesses in this regard.
Daniel, good luck with that. And if you're talking about consumer affairs taking less revenue in fines, health department taking less revenue in fines, does that mean that it's the de Blasio administration's position that the famously business-friendly Bloomberg administration was, overly, what's the word, revenue-generating, overly tough on businesses?
Well, it's very important that whenever a fine is levied, it is done for a violation and a violation that businesses understand and are aware of. So we want to ensure, as the mayor has made very clear, that any time a fine is assessed, it is done in an equitable and fair manner. One of the things that we're very excited at the Department of Consumer Affairs is we're really focused on borough equity. We're focused on the fact that we want to make sure that when inspections happen, that we don't see situations where one borough or one neighborhood within a borough has an undue amount of inspections. So we are developing online tools that are going to assist the department in ensuring equitable enforcement, and we will be rolling out an announcement about that very shortly.
You talked about enforcement against scams, and I think Bonnie in Brooklyn wants to report one of those. Hi, Bonnie. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me. on. Yeah, I in desperate move to find a job really soon after being disappointed. I clicked on this Craigslist ad for undercover store detective, and you answer the phone, and it's not a person, it's just a recording, and you're asked to go to a location in Astoria to meet with somebody, talk about training, and then actually the ad indicates that, you know, you'll be placed with a job, so somewhat in the temp agency kind of paradigm. Mm-hmm. But what happens is you go two consecutive nights to this training, and then, you know, are given a list of basically off the internet, just, you know, undercover store detective jobs, you know, not even contact numbers, just that. And myself and everybody in the class was incredibly disappointed that they spent $199 for essentially just, you know, this training that was
for the ability basically to say to these employers, oh, I went through a training, right?
Right.
Whether or not it's a certified, you know, course of any kind. And then did they – so is that the scam, or did they also kind of steal something from you?
They stole the $199.
Yes.
Which then gives you this, you know, certificate, which is like a meaningless certificate.
Right.
Well, Bonnie, let me say this. We also are very interested in hearing that information. I mean, this falls into the category of generally employment agencies, which sometimes offer an upfront fee to give either training or job counseling or an actual job. DCA actually licenses 329 employment agencies. And we have found that unlicensed agencies are among the most predatory, really collecting these illegal advance fees from vulnerable consumers and then sometimes promising non-existent jobs. So this is exactly the kind of information we want to know about.
Right.
So if you wouldn't mind holding on, we will absolutely collect your information and follow up to get the specifics from you.
Great. Certainly sounds like a fly-by-night operation the way she described it. Bonnie, hang on, and we'll have a producer take your contact information to give to Commissioner Menon. Do you have metrics by which you'll measure success? I guess you mentioned one, which is decreased revenue. But we have CompStat at the NYPD, test score rubrics for the schools. How do you measure success at consumer fairs?
Absolutely. We're very focused on that. It's an excellent question, Brian, because we really want to show that under this administration, we have a more resolute consumer protection for some of our city's most vulnerable consumers, but also for small businesses, fine reduction. So let me just give a couple statistics. I mean, in 2013, DCA mediated over 3,700 consumer complaints and secured more than $5.8 million. In restitution for consumers. We definitely want to see those numbers increase because we believe, again, whether it's employment agencies, immigrant services, debt collectors, and a host of other categories, that there are many scams and abuses that are happening. But let me also mention a whole other area that we haven't had the chance to touch on where there really are very clear metrics for success, and that is our Office of Financial Empowerment.
And I was just going to get to that. This idea of being underbanked. Maybe you should define that
term.
Yes,
so let me talk a little bit about that. So we at the Department of Consumer Affairs run the Office of Financial Empowerment. And what that basically means is we operate 30 financial empowerment centers all across the city. And at these centers, we provide free one-on-one financial counseling to help people get out of debt, to help people open up bank accounts, anything having to do with financial empowerment as well as financial literacy. This is such an exciting area because it fits in so well with what the mayor has made very clear as a priority of addressing income inequality. So we are very excited at OFE because our plans moving forward are to bring financial empowerment counselors out into the field. Traditionally, under the last administration, there were these 30 centers, but people had to come to the centers. We are going to change that model and have OFE counselors in NYCHA community centers, at senior centers, in community centers, all throughout the city of New York. And we think this is so important because, Brian, right now there are 825,000 unbanked New Yorkers, people who simply have no bank account. And there are many reasons why they do not have a bank account. And we want to get to those structural reasons and make sure that we can offer them a safe and secure banking account, which we do. We have 8 financial partners, and we at OFE offer a Safe Start bank account with no upfront fees, no overdraft fees, and minimum balance between $0 and $25.
This is a bank account that's actually run by city government?
It is run by the 8 financial partners that we have, and we want to make sure that people know about it. We think it's a very important product for people to know about and really puts people on a path towards savings. So rather than hardworking New Yorkers spending money on check cashing services or payday lending where they're being charged usurious rates, we want them to instead open up a safe and secure banking account with no upfront fees and certainly no overdraft fees.
So as we finish up, who should approach your office with consumer affairs issues or with requests for help on the financial services side? Because that sounds very robust and like you want to do a lot of outreach. How should they get in touch, and who should approach you?
Absolutely. So let me address the last topic first, financial empowerment. If you are dealing with debt issues, if you don't have a bank account and want to open a bank account, if you have any issues regarding financial empowerment, anything where you feel we can help, we absolutely want to hear from you. If you call 311, they have a list of all of our financial empowerment centers. If you go to nyc.gov/consumers, you will go to the DCA website, and all of the centers are listed there, and we absolutely want to hear from you. If you have been the victim of a fraud, abuse, a scam, or any issue in terms of a sale of a consumer good or service, we want to hear from you. So please go to nyc.gov/consumers or call 311, and that complaint will be directed to us. If you're a small business owner and you feel that fines have been levied in an unfair way, we want to hear from you as well. Also, if you're an employee and your employer has not been providing you notice of paid sick leave, we want to hear about that because you can begin to take your paid sick leave starting on July 30th. So for any of these categories, or if you feel that your life is in any way intersected with a consumer protection issue that we should know about, please call us.
Can I throw in a sick pay law call since that just came in
a couple of minutes ago
and that's where we started? Anne in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, I'm Brian Lehrer. I love the show.
Thank you.
And it's just interesting that you mentioned about the sick pay law because I work for a catering company. I think it's the largest one in New York, Restaurant Associates. It's the catering company that does the Metropolitan Opera, Avery Fisher, Met Museum, Natural History. And I happened to inquire about the sick pay law because I knew about it, and I knew that it went into effect on April. And I was given information that we now receive 5 days, 8 hours after we've worked. I think it's like after we've been hired 90 days and after we've worked 80 hours in a calendar year, which is great. But I don't think anybody else in my company knows, like any of the other catering butlers know about the law. And so I'm not sure how my company is going to notify them. But it would be nice if I would like to think that my company would do that, but it's also a company that hasn't, you know, gone up in wages in over 10 years, even though they
right. It sounds like, and
I don't want to assume the worst for the company that I work for, but I would just like to make sure that notice is given to the hundreds of catering butlers that work in New York City.
All right.
So let me ask you: have you yourself received the notice? It's a sheet of paper. Have you been given the notice by Restaurant Associates?
No, I have not.
Okay. So if we could, we know Restaurant Associates, we know the company, we will reach out to them directly then and ensure that every single employee of Restaurant Associates is given that notice. So it's very helpful for us to hear this type of information. We're now, Brian, in this education phase. So this is a time where we want to hear from employees and employers about paid sick leave. And fines are not assessed until after October 1st. So this is a time when we're going to be working directly with employers to make sure that that notice is given.
And thank you. And after 3 weeks on the job, New York City Consumer Affairs Commissioner Julie Menin, good luck. Hope to talk to you many times.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be with you.